Not far down Jim Day Road on the northeast side of Salem, you will find a small plot of land marked with a simple granite marker. This is the African Methodist Episcopal Cemetery of Salem, otherwise referred to as the AME Cemetery. The site is maintained by the Washington County Cemetery Commission, which, among other endeavors, cares for cemeteries in Washington County that were established before 1850 and have no means of support. You may wonder why this cemetery is marked with only one marker, which, as you will soon learn about, is not even a tombstone. Prior to the 1850s and 60s, there was a sizable African American community in the Washington County area, but the tensions that led to the Civil War unleashed a sometimes murderous racism in Washington County that caused most of the African American community to either flee or outright be forced to leave. After these decades, the AME Cemetery fell into disuse and neglect, and the land was reworked many times until all traces of the tombstones were lost. The memory of the cemetery and church on the land was passed down until the site finally came under the care of the Washington County Cemetery Commission in 1973. In 1981, the commission, led in its efforts by Julie Davis, partnered with the Friends Educational Fund for Negroes of Indianapolis to dedicate a granite marker in honor of John Williams, an African American of Salem who was murdered in 1864. John's story will now be told by William Lindley, John's close friend and chosen executor of his estate.
My friend, John Williams, or as many called him, Black John Williams, was born a free man in Tennessee sometime between 1800 and 1805, and he moved to Salem around 1830. A rumor has been passed around for years that John moved to Salem from North Carolina with my family as our slave. But this simply isn't true. I think that people just didn't understand the friendship between John and my family, so they created a story to explain it. The truth of the matter is that I drove horse teams between Salem and Louisville, and I needed a great blacksmith to make horseshoes for my teams. John fit the bill, and we entered into a business arrangement that flowered into a long-lasting friendship. When John was in the process of buying his own farm, he even lived with my father, Samuel Lindley, for a span of time. John was able to buy his 160 acres of land in 1834, largely helped in this endeavor by my brother, Thomas. Although John was a close friend of my family, who were all Quakers, and he lived near many other Quaker families, he was not a Quaker. He belonged to the African Methodist Episcopal Church, which was founded back in 1836. On November 5th of that year, the neighbors met at the home of Thompson Newby on the northeast side of Salem to discuss plans to build a church, school, and cemetery for the use of the colored people belonging to the Methodist Episcopal Church in or near Salem. They elected three trustees to conduct business matters for the endeavor, and a month later they purchased nearby land for $12.50 from John and Charity Nixon to construct their church school building. You may already be familiar with John Nixon, who erected the first grits mill in Salem, and who also was a teacher in the Quaker school and later served as the county school commissioner. Anyway, on January 15, 1857, less than 6 months after John had paid off the debt on his farm, he drew up his will. By this point, John was approaching his 60s, and he lived alone, having never married, and with no nearby relatives to speak of. These being the circumstances, I think that he wanted to ensure that his fortune and possessions passed into worthy hands after his passing. John named me the executor of his will, and designated that after his death, all of his available estate be put toward the education of colored children in the state of Indiana. Unfortunately, 7 years after John had his will drawn up, he met his unjust end. As a man of African descent in southern Indiana, he had survived many years in a racially hostile environment that grew more intense during the 1850s. His friends in the AME church congregation dwindles as his members fled Washington County and Indiana for the politically safer environments of Michigan and Western Canada. John Williams, though, was simply getting too old to consider relocating himself to another part of the country, especially without a family to make the move with him. John and the other colored folks that decided to stay were reminded just about daily by white agitators that they were not wanted in Washington County, and threats were often made. Well, these weren't simply empty threats. One morning early in December of 1864, we people of the Blue River community were shocked and saddened when Thomas Rodman spread the news that he had found the lifeless body of Black John in his own doorway. He was still dressed in his nightclothes, and there was a bullet wound in his back. There was no sign of a robbery or of a struggle, so as far as we can tell, John was murdered in cold blood by an intolerant racist in the community. George Starbuck, a Quaker pioneer of the community, did the undertaking chores and carried John's body from his home for burial in the colored cemetery at the AME Church, where Reverend Smith Nichols conducted the funeral service. Incidentally, 3 years later, in 1867, Alexander White, one of the last colored residents of Salem, was murdered on the street not far from his home. After Alex's murder, his family fled to Indianapolis, essentially leaving Washington County as a white man's country. After John's tragic death, I immediately set about probating his will in court, and 2 months later, I liquidated the estate, placing advertisements in the Salem Union Advocate newspaper and posting notices around Salem that advertised a public auction in March of 1865 to sell the livestock, farming, and blacksmithing equipment, household goods, and the house, land, and outlying farm buildings of John's estate. William F. Trueblood, the son of John's neighbor, bought the 160 acres of land. All seemed to be well until the payments were made and the court announced that the trust was officially closed. Ignoring John's stipulation that the estate proceeds be used for the education of colored children in the state of Indiana, the judge instead decided that Washington County would get the money. I could not stand for this, so I prepared to appeal this decision. In April of 1869, I petitioned the Court of Common Pleas in Washington County to return the money from John's estate so that I might carry out the trust as John had intended in his will. This court, however, refused my petition and decided against me due to the ambiguity over the recipients to benefit from the trust. My lawyers subsequently took this to the Indiana Supreme Court in Indianapolis, and in November of 1869, they decided in my favor. However, by the time this decision had finally been reached, a law had been enacted in the state of Indiana that allowed colored children to attend public schools, which was a great achievement. But this also meant that there was no longer a direct need for John's funds to be used as he had hoped. I did a lot of thinking, and I finally decided to turn over the John Williams Trust Fund to the board of directors of the Indianapolis Asylum for Friendless Colored Children, which was an African-American orphanage in Indianapolis. Today, the First Friends Church on Kessler Boulevard in Indianapolis still awards scholarships from this fund.